Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm every year's Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday. This time, don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we always like to thank our distributors, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 27th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Also, a quick shout out, not just to my stations who've been taking me over 2.5 decades, but also these podcast networks picking us up as well, whether it's Listen Notes or Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music Italy, India. It's going all over the place. We're very, very thankful. Also, Apple picks it up, and, of course, Spotify. Very pleased with Spotify. CRN Talk, radio network unto itself. You can check us out there. We're on their channel 4, crntalk.com, and they also carry us over Roku. So lots of people involved, and delighted to thank all of them, but especially my audience, because without you guys, none of this is happening. None of this is possible. Anyway, without further ado, the U.S. Court of International Trade rules that Trump's tariffs must cease because they exceed his authority. This is despite Congress vesting in him said authority. In Title 50. Okay. So how will the Supreme Court wind up ruling? Also, polls continue going Trump's way, even as lawlessly politicized courts try to intervene. When do they get the message? Also, thanks to Doge, we learned that our Treasury made $4.7 trillion in untraceable payments, thus exposing a mind-blowing level of government larceny. What's next? What's next? Now, don't get me wrong. This story's been out a little while, but it hasn't received the attention it deserves. You see, the Treasury is supposed to use Treasury account symbols that identify where government expenditures are sent, but they've not been doing so. They haven't been doing it for years. And again, every year, for God knows exactly how long, the Treasury Department has failed to assign these Treasury account symbols, also known as TAS code. And that results in a brain-rattling total of $4.7 trillion in untraceable expenditures. Come on! How is this anything but government larceny shoved right in our collective face? Or I just should say, political party larceny. I just can't help but to believe that it's disproportionately committed more by the Democrats than the Republicans, because it's the Republicans that sent out the search party to find out where all the wasteful spending has been happening, where all the grotesque fraud and abuse and larceny has been going on. And as per Trump, Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, formerly headed by Elon Musk, who's now just recently left, his 130 days of special consultancy role was finished, or in his special consultancy role has come to an end. But all that notwithstanding, Doge exposed all this. And Doge was the brainchild of Donald Trump, a Republican. So I've got to believe that the majority of this larceny, whatever larceny has been able to transpire because of the complete absence of accountability of where expenditures go, must have been committed by the Democrats. And again, it is a mind-blowing $4.7 trillion in untraceable expenditures. Again, how is this anything but political larceny shoved right in our collective effing face? Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is a story that broke some weeks ago. And despite that, it's received relatively little attention in the grand scheme of things. Clearly this deserves greater focus. You see, earlier this month, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent reported Doge's discoveries to Congress through testimony. This, of course, after confirming it all himself. And he said, quote, of the 1.5 billion payments that we send out every year, they are required to have a TAS, a Treasury account symbol. We discovered that more than one-third of those payments did not have a TAS number, unquote. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So is it fair to say that we don't just need investigations? We need investigations that lead to folks getting arrested and going to prison where their love lives quickly belong to those with the most cigarettes. These people need to be found and harmed. And yeah, incarceration can be harmful. This is just astonishing. Astonishing stuff. And we'll get into more of this as well. Also, as I mentioned, we have this U.S. Court of International Trade ruling that Trump's tariffs are, from this point on, no longer permissible. They're no longer permissible. The three-judge panel ruled that the challenged tariff orders will be vacated and their operation permanently enjoined. This by a three-judge panel. So the court rules that the U.S. cannot defend itself against an economic assault even when it uses a law designed to do that very thing. Okay, once again, we see a court usurping the executive's separated powers. And I see the president will have to, should the Supreme Court not overturn this ruling, but I believe it will, but should it not, the president's going to have to use his constitutional prerogative to check the judiciary by way of noncompliance. This option, by the way, is born out of the court's constitutionally designed inability to enforce their own rulings, which really just protects us all from a potentially rogue aggregate judiciary. This is why the founders created it as they did. Now, the president, of course, is not a king, so he can be impeached by the House and face an expulsion trial in the Senate should Congress find that he's actually the one who's rogue and has violated the normal judicial review process. But not even judicial review can be the claim to justify the usurpation of another branch's powers. Otherwise, the Supreme Court could essentially rule, or any court could rule, that it has the prerogative to take over the commander-in-chief role from the president as well as the legislation role from Congress. I mean, you can see how why we have this impediment to the jury, why the judiciary, rather, is never permitted to enforce its own ruling. It's totally at the mercy of the executive. Therein lies how the executive is able to check the judiciary. Now, as I said, again, the president's not a king, so the House can impeach, and the Senate can accept the obligation of going through an expulsion trial. But the reality is, once the Senate fails to muster the two-thirds vote necessary to stop him, that means by default he will have won that separation of powers argument, and his actions shall constitutionally stand. Which means, of course, they will have lawfully been able to stand. This is by the Constitution's design. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. But getting to the law itself, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or otherwise known as IEEPA, Title 50, is a congressional law that was signed by Jimmy Carter in 1977, and it specifically authorizes the president to declare when he believes there exists a, quote, unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, or economic or economy of the United States. It's up to him. And once that declaration is made, he gets to control the transactions with those threatening nations and can even freeze assets to cope with those threats. Of course, he's got to update Congress every 6 months. But it says these powers are conferred upon the president, not the bloody effing court. More on this upon a return. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
It's no secret that everyone wants to live a healthier life, but how many of us really do what it takes to make that happen? A new book lays out easy steps you can take to bring you closer to that goal. Dr. Brian Clement is the author of Quantum Human, an easy-to-read guide to wellness that provides a historic and scientifically validated roadmap on how to stop aging, prevent disease, and getting the most out of life.
Our many years of research have led us to realize how important it is to pay attention to our foods, our thoughts, and the activities we participate in. And more important is our relationships and sense of community.
Dr. Clement's message is one of empowerment. He says that each of us can harness energy and raise our biofrequency through conscious actions. And by doing so, we can heal ourselves and contribute to a more harmonious and connected world.
It's no mystery in Quantum Human we have explored the science of energy healing and the human potential and show how everyone can improve their lives and take their health back.
For more information, visit BrianClementPhD.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Wow, so much going on. And as per the norm, just never enough time to really get into it as we would like to, but we're going to give it a hell of a shot. We're going to give it a hell of a shot. As I mentioned, the U.S. Court of International Trade rules that Trump's tariffs must cease because they exceed his authority, despite Congress vesting in him said authority through Title 50. So how will the Supreme Court rule? Also, polls continue going Trump's way, even as lawlessly politicized courts try to intervene. When will they get the message? Also, thanks to Doge, we learned that our Treasury made $4.7 trillion in untraceable payments, thus exposing a mind-blowing level of government larceny. What is next? Right now, though, I do want to zero in on these polls coming in. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, Tony Delgado, a Puerto Rican-American entrepreneur, software developer, investor, and philanthropist known for co-founding Latino Wall Street, excuse me, a financial education platform aimed at empowering Latino communities through accessible investment knowledge. Tony, great to have you back as always. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, good to have you. Good to have you. You know, as these courts are showing themselves to be quite politicized because they're so clumsily ruling against Trump. I mean, we're talking about some basic stuff that's, you know, archetypal example of usurping separated powers, claiming that laws have not been properly used when you can find the text in the law that corresponds with Trump's usage of it, and I go on and on. But alongside that, we've got these polls that pretty much show that the Americans get where Trump is going. They like where he's going. They see a lot of the developments. I mean, prices are dropping. Eggs don't cost as much. Groceries in general have gone down. Mortgage rates are going down. Gas prices are going down. Inflation is going down. And it now looks as if the right track, wrong track numbers are favoring Trump as well. While for the most part they remain underwater, that number still constitutes a total much better than we've seen in decades. And now we understand the latest figure is 50%. I mean, the right track, wrong track, finding that 50% of the people think the country's on the right track, that is an astonishing development, is it not?
I mean, we're basically seeing a complete 180 on government policy, and that's thanks to not only President Trump, leadership himself, but also the very disruptive bipartisan appointments that he's made all throughout his cabinet, right? He's bringing in a lot of outsiders, getting a lot of team players from both sides of the aisle, people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. heading up HHS, Tulsi Gabbard heading up intelligence, right? Elon with Doge, even though he, you know, set up that infrastructure and stepped down this week. You know, we haven't seen this type of government reform in over 100 years, and I think the American public has been waiting for this.
Oh, my God, yeah, because thus far it just seems to have been a government that has been permitted to dodge accountability just because they've been doing so under the trappings of officialdom. And that's why I wasn't at all surprised to see well, I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised to see that the right track, wrong track numbers have, for the most part, been far more positive with Trump than they've been with his predecessors. But then I come across this headline, history made, 50% say America is on the right track. It's out of the Washington Examiner. Paul Bedard is reporting this, and he says, people are more satisfied with the direction of the country than at any point in recent history. The latest feather in President Donald Trump's hat. On the edge of majority support for weeks, the latest Rasmussen reports, one of the more accurate polls from the 2024 election, along with Insider Advantage and Trafalgar. But the latest Rasmussen reports, the right track, wrong track average shared with Paul Bedard's Secrets, has hit 50%. And this is as of a couple of days ago and shows no signs of pulling back. Rasmussen reports in a post on X called it, quote unquote, uncharted territory. This is a real head shaker. I don't imagine we're going to see legacy media harping on this very much, will we?
No, I mean, they'll figure out a way to spin it. I mean, President Donald Trump could eat a slice of pizza and then figure out a way to spin it that he's racist against Italians. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does. The media is going to try to spin it. But I think the American people have woken up. And also thanks to social media and alternative media, they're not really getting their news. Most Americans are not only getting their news and relying on one or two big sources. And, you know, President Trump, it's a breath of fresh air. It's not only a return to common sense versus the previous administration, but it's also a return to competency, right? I mean, for the last 4 years, America was basically disgraced with a commander-in-chief who clearly had dementia, who clearly couldn't finish a sentence, and who clearly was not fit for the job. And having President Trump in the Oval Office and also working with the world leaders, competently representing us in the Middle East last week, competently representing us in the Oval Office, talking to reporters. Again, we basically didn't have the president talking to reporters or taking a question from reporters in 4 years. And this was because he was completely controlled, right? A complete puppet, Joe Biden was, you know, signing executive orders using an auto pen, which basically means that he wasn't the one signing it, right? You had people behind the scenes and no one really knew who was running the country. So again, it's not only a return to common sense, it's a return to competency and respect for the office. And I think people on the world stage and the citizens of the United States are happy to have the adults back in charge.
What do you see is going to happen with the tariffs? So right now, this U.S. International Court of International Trade saying that Trump can't do these tariffs anymore, even though the law appears to very specifically grant him that authority. I don't see the Supreme Court upholding it. I mean, people like to scream home the fact that, oh, well, you know, these judges were, one was Reagan, one's by, well, you know, the other one's by Trump himself and blah, blah, blah. I still just don't see it happening. I mean, the law basically says, this is the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, Title 50. It specifically authorizes the president to declare when there exists a, quote, unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, or economy of the United States that originates in whole or substantial part outside the United States. Now, end of excerpt. My friend, once that declaration is made, the president gets to control the transactions and those threatening, with those threatening nations, not the courts. It also goes on to say later in Section 101, the president may extend the exercise of such authorities for one-year periods upon a determination of each such extension that the exercise of such authorities with respect to such country for another year is in the national interest of the United States, unquote. Notice that it doesn't say upon the judiciary's determination, but rather the president's determination as conferred upon him by Congress. How did this court find that Trump's adherence to the law was a violation of the law, sir?
I mean, these unelected bureaucrats, they are the definition of the deep state. This is the definition of the permanent government. Donald Trump won the popular vote. He has a mandate from the American people to lead. He ran on tariffs. He ran on controlling the trade war. And he's doing exactly what the American people voted for.
So clearly the deep state has expanded into the judiciary, not just the bureaucracy of the executive. Boy, I tell you, Trump might have to use his constitutional prerogative to check the judiciary because it's born out of the judiciary's inability to enforce its own rulings. Thank God. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Going to be right back.
May is Small Business Month, and TikTok is supporting entrepreneurs at a time when they need it most with their nationwide program, Small Biz Fest. TikTok is giving away $1 million in ad credits and one-on-one support to local businesses to help them reach new audiences and increase sales. Esme Lean, TikTok's head of small and medium business.
TikTok has become the go-to platform for business owners looking to grow their audiences and to be discovered by new customers across the nation. At TikTok, we're focused on supporting our thriving community of 7.5 million businesses. And this May, we celebrate Small Biz Fest as the next step in our year-long commitment to support and supercharge entrepreneurs.
TikTok is also launching free
free educational resources to help businesses launch, market, and grow on the platform. To learn more about the ad credit giveaway and how to kickstart your journey on TikTok, visit TikTokSmallBizFest.com.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. As I mentioned earlier, you have a lot of folks on Capitol Hill finally waking up over these Doge disclosures of squandered funds from the Treasury. I mean, we're talking about a mind-blowing $4.7 trillion in untraceable Treasury payments. That'd be a lot of moolah. I mean, can you believe that? Now, again, thanks to Doge, we learned that our Treasury made $4.7 trillion in untraceable payments. And it really, when you think about it, exposes a mind-blowing level of government larceny. Does it not? And finally, we have some folks on Capitol Hill commenting on this. Matter of fact, we're going to be now hearing from Senator Mark Wayne Mullen out of Oklahoma, Republican. You can also hear from Rick Scott, Senator out of Florida, Eric Schmidt out of Missouri, Roger Marshall out of Kansas, all of them one after another in this next clip. James, let's share that with the audience, if you please.
We're excited that they were able to uncover it. It's ridiculous, though, that we haven't seen it. We control the purse strings, supposedly, in Congress.
Well, first off, I'm a business guy, so you look, you know exactly how where every check is going. It's called a payable. You know where everything's going. You have it. It's marked. You know where it's going. You can track it, and you can measure to see how you improve. So when you hear about this story that they didn't know where money was going, it makes you mad because this is somebody's money. This is taxpayers' money. We have, what, almost $37 trillion worth of debt? So this makes no sense at all.
So much waste. There's so much fraud. There's so much abuse in our government. And I'm glad there was a laser-like focus on it. We ought to make many of those reforms permanent. But there probably ought to be some investigations here about where this money actually went. I mean, this is taxpayer money. People work hard.
I mean, I'm not surprised at all, unfortunately. I think that there's $2 trillion of improper payments over the last 4 years with Joe Biden that the Treasury made. They were leaving it complete fields undone when they're filling out their financials. So this is a common theme. I'm not surprised.
Again, that was Senators Mullen of Oklahoma, Scott of Florida, Schmidt of Missouri, and Marshall of Kansas. Just astonishing developments that just are beyond inexcusable. I mean, the Treasury apparently is supposed to use these Treasury account symbols that identify where government expenditures are sent. But they haven't been doing that for God knows how long. And the Treasury Department has failed to assign these Treasury account symbols for years, coming up to equaling like $500 million a year. See, one-third. Only one-third of their expenditures have been receiving these TAS codes, these Treasury account symbols. Only a third. And it constitutes a yearly waste of about $500 million. Now, because it takes $1,000 billion to equal a trillion, do the math yourself, a lot of years have gone by. And this has not just touched Democrat administrations, but establishment Republican ones as well. And apparently, not until Trump came along, did we ever have a shot in hell of finding out these things. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Janice Daniels. She is formerly the ninth mayor of Troy, Michigan, also former talk host, communications director right now for the Magnificent Republic. And good to have you back, Madam Mayor. How are you today?
Thank you, Alan. Well, I'm well, except I'm kind of troubled over the cavalier responses that these public functionaries are giving to this revelation of $4.7 trillion worth of untraceable Treasury payments. If I was one of them, I would be screaming to high heaven. I would say, stop the purse, close the purse. This has got to stop. And where have we been with our oversight, with our duty to protect and defend the Constitution and the American people that live under it? I'm shocked.
It's amazing. I agree with you. I mean, you know, they're saying the right things, but it's almost as if they're addressing a development that is far less significant than the one we're discussing. It's as if they're addressing, you know, we really need to get that air conditioning system corrected in the West Wing of this Capitol Hill, you know. And when I get a chance, if I don't pick up that laundry on time, my wife's really going to give it to me. I mean, they're not really attaching to it the level of animus that they should. I mean, they should be hating this kind of development, should they not?
Oh, absolutely. This should be of the highest order. Of revelation of the absolute corruption that we the people have allowed our government employees to do to our country, our budget. I mean, to begin with, we're using fiat money. We never should have allowed Congress to pass the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, but we did. And now look where it's got us. Our fiat money is flying out the window. supporting programs and processes that we would never have thought of or never agreed to in our wildest dreams.
And they get away with it because anytime they're challenged, they characterize our expectations for their accountability as somehow always being more inappropriate than their dodging of it. Because after all, whatever they've done has been done under the trappings of officialdom, as if that somehow suffices. Look, this is a story that again, broke some weeks ago, but I don't think it's received the attention it deserves. It deserves much more focus. And again, earlier this month, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, he reported Doge's discoveries to Congress in testimony, after, of course, confirming them himself. And this is what he said. He said, quote, of the 1.5 billion payments that we send out every year, they are required to have a TAS, a Treasury account symbol. We discovered more than one third of those payments did not have a TAS number, unquote. So is it fair to say that we don't just need investigations? We need incarcerations. We need people to be found guilty, put behind bars, and experience some level of discomfort for the next nine decades. What say you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think, too, that now we see why. Every year, the Congress people get their panties in a bunch about passing a budget. We're going to have to shut the government down. And then they pass these absolutely obscene, unconstitutional budget bills that nobody can read, nobody can understand. And now that we have AI and Doge, thank God we're able to pull this apart, and we've got to put it together the right way this time. I'm incensed about this.
No, and I think more people should be as well. As well, we also mentioned the this three-judge panel, the International Trade Court, the U.S. Court of International Trade, I should say, rules that Trump's tariffs must cease immediately. He's obviously... already we know that he's appealing it to the Supreme Court. But I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, wait a minute. So the court rules that the U.S. cannot defend itself against an economic assault,
yeah,
even when it uses a law designed to do that very thing. That very thing. I mean, we're talking about something specifically designed. It's the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. And it specifically authorizes the president, not the courts, but the president, to declare when he believes there exists a, quote, unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, or economy of the United States that originates, quote, again, in whole or substantial part outside the United States. And again, Madam Mayor, once that declaration is made, he, the president, gets to control transactions with those threatening nations. And that includes tariffs, if you will, especially when they've been unilaterally visited upon us for decades without us responding in kind ever. He's just catching on to what should have been addressed long ago. Isn't that fair to say?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And yes, the Congress is given the authority over tariffs in the Constitution. That's true. But Congress was never delegated the authority to screw the American taxpayers by allowing these unfair trade policies to continue on and on and on, as if they didn't see it.
No. I get that. But the court is saying, oh, the president's going beyond his authority because it's up to Congress to issue when tariffs or blah, blah, blah should be done. But the Congress did in this law confer upon the president for the purposes of speed and agility. They conferred upon the president that right to act on Congress's behalf, saying, hey, we vest in you through this law the prerogative to respond to countries that are a threat to us, including when they're an economic threat. So where the hell does the court find the grounds for its ruling? Your take.
Where does the court find its grounds to block so many of what the things that Trump is trying to do? Where were they when Biden opened the southern border to invasion? Where was the court? Where was the court when, in fact, Congress abdicated their authority over elections and gave that to the executive department in the form of a secretary of state in each state? I don't understand it. We've got a big ball of yarn that's a mess, but I'm glad we're going to reclaim our American Republic one way or another.
Madam Mayor, great to have you back. Janice Daniels, everybody. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit AARP.org/FraudWatchNetwork. That's AARP.org/FraudWatchNetwork.
Life is expensive for the average American right now. Budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. That's why Metro by T-Mobile is bringing back the classic $40 plan. Get a new 5G phone and a plan for just $40 flat. For a family of four, it's just $25 a line, and each person gets a free 5G phone. That's $350 in savings. When you join any new plan for Metro, the price of talk, text, and data is guaranteed for the next 5 years. Take that, inflation. For more information, visit metrobyt-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Delighted you could be with us. Looking at the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, because this is the thing that Trump used for justifying his across-the-board tariffs against countries that have been subjecting us to unfair tariffs for decades. He's just decided to reciprocate. And for some reason, that reciprocation has been viewed by a key court as being unacceptable. More specifically, the U.S. Court of International Trade ruling that Trump's tariffs have got to cease because they apparently exceed his authority. But this is despite Congress vesting in him that authority. It's in Title 50. And I read it myself, not in total, obviously. I mean, the thing is massive. But I got the components that seem to back him up. You see, in Title 50, again, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, otherwise known as IEEPA, and again, this is a congressional law that was signed in 1977 by Jimmy Carter. The thing is specifically authorizes the president to declare when he believes there exists a, quote, unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, or economy of the United States that originates in whole or substantial part outside the United States. And he's the one who gets to make that declaration. As a matter of fact, later on in this law, Section 1, it says, quote, the president may extend the exercise of such authorities for one-year periods upon determination of each such extension that the exercise of such authorities with respect to such country or another country is in the national interest of the United States, unquote. Now, notice that it doesn't say upon the judiciary's determination, but rather the president's determination, and one that was conferred upon him by Congress. The very people this court ostensibly is saying is the separated power it's protecting. Are you protecting the separated power of the very branch that is conferred and has the right to confer its authority in a law to the president to exercise as per his discretion? I mean, how does the U.S. Court of International Trade get to supplant a power given to the president by Congress in the name of protecting a Congress that has brought no complaint to the judiciary? The people who have the most standing are the ones who aren't there standing in complaint. I'm thinking to myself, how does this not get overturned by the Supreme Court? Unless sanctioned functional illiteracy is now a permissible lens through which to adjudicate anything. Really? Is that what they're telling us? That sanctioned functional illiteracy is now a permissible lens through which adjudication may now be predicated? It makes no sense. Now, fortunately, the Supreme Court 6-3 conservative majority, I think, will overturn this ruling. Since, again, courts never get to usurp a president's foreign policy maneuvers against international emergency threats, even when it's clumsily camouflaged as a ruling on law. Look, the judiciary's got to be independent, fine. But not really any more so than the other two branches. Not so absolute that it can usurp the separated powers of any of the other two branches in the name of exercising its own. Yeah, it has the final ruling on a given law, but it doesn't have the final say when it has engaged in a separation of powers dispute when it places itself as one of the two parties. in the dispute? One of the two litigants. You know, just like nobody gets to be a judge in his own trial. Well, the judiciary doesn't get to be the final adjudicator over a dispute concerning separation of powers when it happens to be one of the two bloody litigants. Thank God it too is subject to an emergency check should any of the judiciary courts go rogue by overreaching any of their own respective jurisdictions, including the overall jurisdiction of the judiciary in its aggregate form. I mean, each individual court has its own judiciary, but then you have the national judiciary in the form of the Supreme Court as the head. But by the Constitution's design, no part of the judiciary has the ability to enforce any of its rulings. And by the way, that limitation is what allows the executive to check any ruling it finds to be a violation of its own separated powers. This is an inarguable component of our founding document. It was done deliberately this way. Born out of the judiciary's inability to enforce its own rulings, exists or comes the existence of the executive's prerogative to put a check on the judiciary through the act of noncompliance. Now, the head of the executive is not a king, so Congress could check him with House impeachment and Senate expulsion if they find that he's the one who has gone rogue, if he's the one who's violating normal judicial review. But if the Senate fails to muster the two-thirds vote necessary to stop Trump, then he will have constitutionally won the separation of powers argument, and his rejection of those court rulings shall stand. They shall lawfully stand because they will have been constitutionally arrived at. That's the constitutional remedy. People get nervous when I bring this up. Too bad. Bite my ass. It's the deal. I've not had a single attorney on my show, liberal or conservative, who've said I am wrong on the mechanics of the Constitution. What about Mulberry versus Madison? Well, yeah, Mulberry versus Madison, all about judicial review, fine. But Mulberry versus Madison was just another case, a very important case, but still just another case. It's a case that never transcended the power of a constitutional amendment. And it's only a constitutional amendment that can alter the separated powers dynamics among the three branches. And by the way, this process has always been an option, and it's been a guiding factor in one manner or another for a number of presidents. Thomas Jefferson knew this with the Louisiana Purchase. Andrew Jackson triggered the Trail of Tears when he defied Worcester v. Georgia in 1832. Abraham Lincoln declared war without congressional approval while also suspending habeas corpus. And most convolutedly, Joe Biden continuously pushed student loan forgiveness maneuvers while bragging that the Supreme Court didn't stop me. Biden just used progressively weaker statutes as faux replacement grounds to circumvent said rulings until his term ran out. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.